Would you pray with me? Father God, in this moment, we thank you that you are our living hope. For 14 weeks, we have been reading through this beautiful letter that you gave to us through Peter. And Father, I'm thankful that there's such truth to be found in this passage. God, may we, the living stones that have received the living hope in us, now live out hope among our family and friends. God, do a work among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bible, I'll ask you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. This is our final message in a 14-week series entitled Living Hope. That song that we just sang together is a song of truth that he is our living hope. And so let's lift up together that idea of who he is and what he's done. But let's look at this passage. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by the brotherhood throughout the world. Verse 10, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We will look today at the conclusion of this encouraging and challenging letter that is really meant to be lived out in practical ways. But before we look at this passage, I want to give a quick review of the first 13 weeks. We're going to move fast through this. So if you're taking notes, you may not be able to catch them all, but we're going to do the best we can. In week one, we discovered that living hope was meant to be lived out. Remember, we looked at a beachside breakfast with Jesus that he prepared for Peter. He brought Peter to him. Jesus restored Peter by his grace. And listen, friends, he'll do the same for you and for me. If you don't find yourself worthy enough to be used by the kingdom of God, if you think you are too far gone into sin for him to forgive you, be reminded that Jesus cooked breakfast for Peter, the one who had denied him three times. That same Jesus loves you. That same Jesus is living hope in your life. Week two, we talked about preparing our minds for holiness. The actions you take begin with the thoughts you think. The actions you take begin with the thoughts you think. The new you knows a better way. It's what starts in here that leads to what's lived out here. So if you're struggling to make wise choices, you must start in your mind with what you think. It's important that we prepare our minds for holiness, that we get rid of the garbage and we bring in the good things of God. Week three, we talked about brotherly love being a sign of being born again. And the idea that no love in you equals no Christ in you. That new life leads to new love. If there's no evidence of love in your life, there's no evidence of Jesus. And so it's important that we evaluate our lives. Do we show love? Do we have love? Is he in our lives? Week four, we listened to a poem by John Bunyan. It says this, run, John, run, the law commands, but give us neither feet nor hands. Far better news the gospel brings. It bids us fly and gives us wings. What does that mean? The law can tell us what to do, but it does not have the power to compel us or transform us into doing it. It is only the gospel message that gives us wings to fly. It's the gospel message that helps us to be able to live out and change the desires of our hearts. It's the gospel, the good news of Jesus. In week five, we discovered that you and I are holy priests. You are a priest. But remember, we said this, missing ministers mess up the mission. If you decide as a priest, a royal priest, a people belonging to God, if you decide as an individual, I'm not going to be the one to minister to others. Everyone else can do that. I'm too bad, too sad, too shy, whatever the case may be, missing ministers mess up the mission. God's got a plan that involves you being on mission for him. In week 6, we talked about discovering your specific mission from God, that as shepherds, we're all shepherds, we all need to find our flock. So you got to find your flock. You got to figure out who it is God's calling you to shepherd, who it is God's calling you to minister to, who it is God's calling you to share with. Then in week 7, we discovered a very simple phrase, and that is this, that we don't fight for victory in spiritual warfare. No, we fight from victory. Amen? Amen? It's true. You don't fight for victory. Victory's already been given by Jesus. We fight from a place of victory. That's different in how the battle is fought. We'll need that a little bit later today when we talk about today's message. In week 8, we looked at the fact that if we're to be living hope, we must do so in a world in need. And we're surrounded by people that need to see what living hope looks like. Those in authority that need to see what living hope looks like. Those that submit to us that need to see what living hope looks like. In week 9, we took time to recognize that our words speak, but our actions shout. It's one thing to say something. It's another thing to do something. Also in week 9 was a pretty powerful thought that is this. It comes straight from God's word. Your walk with Christ is directly tied to your relationship to your spouse. How you treat your spouse affects your walk with Christ. Friends, examine your relationship to your spouse. Realize that makes a difference for your personal walk with Christ. Week 10, it's this. Godly sympathy is all about laying aside our personal assumptions and seeing other people the way God sees them, not just the way we assume they are. We read a quote from Abraham Maslow that says this, I suppose it is tempting if the only tool you have is a hammer to treat everything as if it were a nail. When the reality is that's us making false assumptions based off of ourselves. So we must not assume things of other people. We need to learn to see people the way God sees people. And then week 11, a few things. God's grace is showcased in our respectful reaction. So what we must do is to watch our mouths, watch our steps, and to watch our desires. When it comes to watching our steps, we talked about the fact that we need to ask a 3-word simple question. Is it wise? When it comes to the next step we take, is it wise? In light of my current situations, is this wise? In light of what God is showing me, is this wise? In light of my family situation, is this wise? The greatest 3 words you could ever put together. In every aspect, before you respond to someone, before you act in a certain way, before you choose to walk a certain path, we ask the question, according to God, is this wise? Then in week 12, we talked about the fact that every church in history that has not reached out has gone down. It is just the truth. So we must always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. And hope has a name. That name is Jesus. We've got to always be prepared to tell people about Jesus. Always be ready to do so. Then last week, week 13, a couple of phrases. First of all, the one that stands out to me is the phrase, doing nothing is a silent killer of the gospel. If we do nothing, it is the silent killer of the gospel. You and I, we're part of the Jesus welcoming committee. He's going to come back. We're on the committee to help him be ready to come. And so we want to be about that. And the best way we can do that is to, above all, show love to those around us and love for him. To love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves. We are on that welcoming committee for Jesus returning. We have our part to play. And so today, we will now look at the conclusion here of this incredible letter from Peter. And Peter wraps up this letter with a few important final thoughts. And we'll summarize them with 3 key phrases. And here's the phrases if you're writing things down today. Trust God, pay attention, and have hope. First, trust God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. It says, cast your anxieties, your cares, your concerns on Jesus because he cares for you. Now, when Peter says this, do you realize that Peter was an expert at understanding the care of Jesus? You know, we think about what we have experienced of Jesus' care. I want you to think about the different ways that Jesus did something physical or showed up for Peter in very real ways. One commentator said it this way. He says, nobody knew from experience that God cares for his own more than Peter. When you read the four Gospels, you discover that Peter shared in some wonderful miracles. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law in Mark chapter 1. God gave Peter a great catch of fish in Luke chapter 5. He helped him pay his temple tax in Matthew chapter 17. Jesus helped Peter walk on water in Matthew chapter 14. Jesus repaired the damage that Peter did to the ear of Malchus in Luke chapter 22. And Jesus delivered Peter from prison in Acts chapter 12. So think about this for a moment. This ought to excite you. The same man who washed Peter's feet knowing that he would soon betray him. That same man who cooked Peter breakfast right after he did betray him. That same man, Peter says of him, no one will care for you like him. See, Peter understood what the grace of Jesus was about. Friends, don't forget, no one ever cares for you like Jesus. Now, no doubt in your mind and mine, many of us, as we had Thanksgiving this week, those things always bring back memories from the past. And we can think back to a number of us in this room that probably think back to a time maybe in childhood. Maybe some of you have lost a parent at this point. But the reality is you stop and think about that care from a mother, that care from a father, that particular care that you had from someone. And you think of that with fond affection. Or if you struggle to have that care from someone, you stop, and that's a hurtful moment for you to stop and realize. All of that wrapped together, can I say to you, no matter how much someone cared for you, no one cares for you like Jesus. No one. He loves you. He provides grace for you. Now, in this passage, it says to cast our anxieties on him because he cares for us. Can I ask you a simple question this morning? Is anxiety painting your world this week? Peter was speaking directly about anxieties from persecution and suffering. But the reality is anxiety as a result of anything still leads to the same struggles. It can cause you to not sleep very well. It can affect your peace. It can affect your focus. It can affect your energy. Anxiety affects your relationships. If I'm being totally honest, I've had a pretty anxious week myself. Some of you in this room, maybe you live plagued with high amounts of anxiety. If that's the case, can I simply say to you what Peter has said in multiple beautiful phrases? I'm going to use it in two words. Trust God. Trust God today. Do what Peter did. Look at the past history of God in your life. Look at what he has done in his past history with you. Look at his past history with all believers and how he keeps his word. Lift up the rugs and look for dirt underneath. Shine the light and look for cobwebs in the windows. Inspect all the fruits you can, and I'm going to guarantee what your conclusion is going to be when you're discovering who Jesus is. And that is this: Jesus has never failed you yet. Amen. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Would you repeat that with me? Jesus never fails. If you're in the venue in the other room, come on, everybody together. Jesus never fails. I love, there's an old song that says, Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail because Jesus never fails. He never fails. Listen, I'll just sing some. Ooh, not, anyway, let's get back to preaching. He never fails. You can take that to the bank. If you were to bring my wife, my three children up here and to ask them, Has Pastor Chris ever failed you? Every last one of them would have to say yes. My wife might be kind and tell a little white lie in church and say no, but it'd be a lie. My sons, they're quick to tell the truth. So it would be no. I failed them. The same would be true, he said, of you and anyone you come in contact with. There's only one name that we can say has never failed you and never failed me, and that's Jesus. He never fails. Trust God. Trust him. Listen, here's what I'm learning this week. Sometimes you don't trust him and say, well, that's it. I trust you. I'm good. No, you got to trust him moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour. Say, God, I trust you today. God, I trust you right now. God, I trust you in this moment. So Peter reminds us to cast our anxieties on him. Then, not only does Peter encourage us to trust God, he also encourages us to pay attention. Look at verses 8, chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Verse 9, resist him. Stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. What's that saying to us? Listen, it says you have an enemy. So pay attention. Don't lose sight of the spiritual warfare going on around you. There is a battle raging around you, and friend, you're in it. The believers who lose the battle are the ones who forget that they're fighting. But you're in a spiritual battle. Now, Peter compares Satan to a lion. Do you realize how many lions are in the Bible? Just do a little word search of lions in the Bible. It's an amazing number. Samson kills a lion. David kills a lion. Benaiah goes into a pit on a snowy day and kills a lion. That's sort of like showing off, but he does. It's just amazing, man. Sin is compared to a lion crouching at your door. Daniel is thrown into a hungry den of lions, but God shuts their mouths. Over and over, we see lions. They're dangerous. Lions are not house pets, friends. Despite what a few crazy people might think. I found a video. It's a minute long. I want you to watch it. It's a crazy man who loves lions. It's okay. If you love a lion, that's good. But love them from a distance. Are you with me? This man loves them up close. Watch this little video. You may have seen him online. Don't worry. There's nothing graphic happening at the end of this video. It's not one of those. But just watch this man for just a moment.
Hello, my boy.
Kevin is an animal behaviorist who doesn't believe in observing his subjects from a safe distance.
That's what you call a lion sandwich.
In the wild, lions don't like water. But look at this, a young lioness playing with him in the river. This footage has amazed wildlife expert survival, around though he's more in doubt.
Right in there.
He's safe, I promise.
Huh?
Are you okay?
Yeah. This is normal.
That's not normal. He lied. This is normal. No, that's not normal. Friends, as much as we look at that guy, and if you're in this room and you think, that looks like fun. No, you're not normal. Don't do that. Don't even think such a thing. It's not normal. That's not safe. Why? Because he's playing with wild animals that need some respect. Listen. Let me give you an example of how this works. I work in a church office full of people who like each other. We like each other. We value one another. We're kind to one another. But I could still walk in here someday, what I would call the safest workplace in Albertville, and I could still be ambushed by somebody's bad mood. It can still happen. So it can happen. So what if one of those lions just says, today, I'm in a bad mood? Listen, that's not good. So just say no, kids, if you're thinking about it. Don't do that. But some of us are playing around with Satan the same way that man's playing with lions. Now we think it seems good, it seems to be okay, and we're playing a dangerous game, and we are losing the battle whether we realize it or not. Peter says, resist him. Do not flirt with him. Don't associate with him. Stand firm in your faith. How do you stand firm in your faith against the roaring lion of Satan? Well, Ephesians says our weapons are God's word and prayer. Those are the two weapons that we use, God's word and prayer. And so what I would encourage you to do is to be reminded in whatever difficulty you find yourself in whatever circumstance you see coming your way, be reminded that God himself would say that you can stand firm. You do not have to give in to whatever temptation. Resist what the enemy is throwing at you. And also be reminded you're not alone in your suffering. You're not alone in your spiritual battle. Believers all over the world are fighting for the kingdom of God. Deborah Rebus is here today. Deborah, I didn't know you were going to be here. You didn't tell me. So, come on up here real quick. Come on up here. So let's see if we can get you up here real quick. I'm going to walk off camera for the other room. I'm coming back. I'm just grabbing this black microphone. Do you mind me calling on you a moment? That's good. We're going to do it. Come on up here. Come stand right here with me. So Deborah is our missionary serving in Brazil with Footprints Abroad Ministry. We're so thankful for the work there and what you do. And we're thankful to see you here today. Glad that you've been able to come to the States for Thanksgiving and all those good things. So would you take a moment just real quickly? In the passage, it talks about believers all over the world. What's God doing? Just real quickly, what's God doing right now? You may want to talk about Brazil, but also God's leading you to do ministry in other places. Just take a second, talk about what you see God doing different places right now.
Yes. We're still planting churches in Brazil. We are in smaller cities of about 10,000, 15,000 people, and in places where there's not a Baptist church before. So there, we see a different challenge. Similar to the States, people are used to talk about God, hear about God, hear about Jesus, but they don't understand that it's all about relationship. So they still think that they have to earn God's love. They still think they have to earn his salvation. And just going to Mass or going to church once a week is putting them giving them a better chance. And so that's our challenge. In those smaller cities, the predominant religion there is very strong, and the religious leaders also have very influential. So sometimes that makes it harder for us to build relationships or even get our message out because people are resistant to that. And then a few years ago, one of our church planters in Brazil, he was actually my youth pastor at some point, God took them to India. Almost three years ago, and in the last year, God invited us to be a part of what he's doing in India. And then you go to a completely different field. You know, they in India, I don't know if you know, the majority they're Hindu, and they believe in 300 million gods, 300 million gods. And so we come and we bring Jesus, and a lot of them hear about it, but they're like, oh, it's just one more. It's just one more for our collection. And so it's a struggle to try to show to them, no, this is not just one word. He's the only true God. And so I've been there three times. I'm going back in January with two different teams. And we are working in smaller villages as well, and where persecution is not bad at all. And we can openly talk to them about Jesus. And also, you've heard me talk about Cindy and Eddie Kennedy, the IMB missionaries that God used to impact my life. I worked with them many years in Brazil. They're on our board, Footprints Abroad. And 5 years ago, God took them out of Brazil and sent them to Germany. And over there, they're working with refugees. But they are mobilizing and mentoring Brazilians, missionaries that are working with refugees. And so about 2 years ago now, Footprints has partnered with a Brazilian missionary in Austria. And she started a small Bible study in her home for some Syrian refugees, and that grew into a church that in the last 18 months has baptized over 100 Muslim converts. Man. And so it's amazing to see all different fields.
So Brazilian people moving to Germany to become church planters for Syrian refugees.
From Afghanistan and Iraq.
Only
well.
God does that.
Only
so
God.
That's
exactly.
A beautiful thing. So
and it's very humbling that God has allowed me to be a part of that and just witness his power at work.
And the Kennedys that she mentioned, our IMB missionaries, are on stateside assignment. They are not available at our missions conference this year, but they will be with us in early spring before they go back to share one Sunday, so you'll get to hear from them as well. Deborah, it's great to see you. We're glad that you're here. It's always an honor to pray for you and to have you here. So let me pray for you right now as we continue. Father, thank you for Deborah. Thank you for the work in Brazil. Thank you for the work all around the world. It's wonderful to see even how you can call us and send us to different places. We pray for the work in India. We pray for the work in Austria. We pray for the continued work in Brazil. God, all over the world, there are other believers walking boldly for you. May we covet our prayers for them. May we lift them up to you. May we support them. May we go ourselves. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you. So that fit perfectly to take just a moment when I saw she was here to talk about what's happening in other places in the world. But I want to also mention one more of our frontline missionaries and show you when this passage talks about that there are others suffering around the world or others fighting the battle around the world, and we should take heart in that. One of our missionaries is in Central Asia. He's in a closed country because we are live streaming on the internet and because of the radio ministry. I'm not going to mention him by name, but we have a short 2-minute video that he sent a week and a half ago. And he does mention some particular missionaries and places they're serving in the closed country by name. So if you're live stream, and I know there are a number of people watching live stream, for the next 2 minutes, you're not going to have any audio. You'll still see the video. Don't go away. We haven't messed it up. We're turning it off so there'll be no names mentioned on here. I'm not even going to mention this missionary, though our folks here will recognize him. And they have an underground training school for evangelists and church planters that is going well. And I want you to catch a little vision for what's happening in this Central Asian area. So we're going to hear it here. They're going to hear it in the venue. Together we'll hear it, but we're not. If you're online watching, you just watch, and there'll be no audio for the next 2 minutes. As we watch that, I am reminded. And this is a week and a half ago this happened, and you think about those are our brothers and sisters in a part of the world that are literally surviving on very, very little to eat, and how they sacrifice greatly so that a group of 8 to 10 people who are spending a long amount of time studying God's word so they can be prepared to go out and be evangelists and teachers so that they could eat better and be prepared for. And I contrast that back to just the spread of food at my Thanksgiving table on Thursday where I was. And oh, what the difference it is. And yes, I'm thankful, and we had such joy in our home as we shared Thanksgiving. But oh, I can't stop it. I can't quit thinking about those men and women, those believers who are in an underground church, having to be quiet when they sing because the neighbors would call the police. Those that have to enter their worship times at different times because if someone knew there was a gathering, they would surely call the police and someone would go to jail. But those same brothers and sisters gave way beyond what they have. They're living off bread, but they gave potatoes and meat. You know, it didn't make me feel shameful. What it did, it brought me such joy. To stop and think that we have brothers and sisters around the world, just like it says here in 1 Peter. Listen again. You need to know that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by brotherhood throughout the world. That wasn't just true 2,000 years ago when Peter wrote these words. That's true today. Listen to it again. It ought to help us resist the devil more than ever. It ought to lead us to live the encouraging life of the gospel more than ever, because we know that there are people all around the world, our brothers and sisters, who are fighting the fight of faith, who are living out the battle, who are longing for the gospel. What a difference that can make for you and for me. May we be counted among that number before this day is over. So here in 1 Peter, he tells us to trust God. He tells us to pay attention. And then lastly, he says to have hope. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen." If you remember back 14 weeks ago, Peter started this letter declaring Jesus as our living hope. And he ends this letter with a challenge for those people and for you and me to have hope, to live out hope. Have hope in the fact that Jesus is the God of all grace. Have hope in the fact that he's provided grace for you and for me. Have hope in the fact that if you're suffering, it will come to an end someday. That your pain right now, it's not permanent. Your trial, it's just temporary. Have hope in the fact that Jesus has dominion over all things. Listen, you wake up tomorrow with some bad news. Someone delivers to you something you don't want to hear. Something tragic happens in your life. Let me assure you of one thing. There is no emergency meeting of the Trinity in heaven going to happen tomorrow. And they're going to say, what happened to Chris? Or what happened to so-and-so? No, because the God of all ages has dominion over your life. He knows. We talked about this in our small group this morning. God doesn't just know what your future holds. He's already in your future. He's not bound by time and space. So the God of yesterday, today, and forever, whatever troubles coming your way, he's there. Whatever difficulties are coming your way, he's there now. The very one who deserves our glory, he is already at work in your life ahead of time on behalf of you and for me. Look at what it tells us he will do. We can have hope in the fact that he will restore us, he will confirm us, he will strengthen us, and he will establish us. Some of you in this room today need to be restored. You've been living in sin. You've never given your life to the Lord. You're just not certain about your walk with him. Today, he would say he will restore you. Today, receive his gift of grace. For others of us, he wants to confirm the fact that he's not forgotten you. For others of us, it's to strengthen you and to remind you that you have living hope inside of you so you can live out hope now among others. For others, it's to establish us to be his agents of grace, that he will use us for his kingdom's purpose. Have hope in the living hope. God can be trusted to do what he says he will do. So what about you? Have you been dealing with some anxiety in your life? Can I simply challenge you to trust God? Examine his past actions. Examine his words for you. And trust him today. Trust him day by day. Moment by moment if you need to. But trust God. For others of you, can I encourage you just to pay attention? You have an enemy. It's not wise to flirt with a lion. And it's not wise to ignore a lion. Resist him. How? With God's word and with prayer. And I can remind you of something very specific. I mentioned all those lions in the Bible, but there's one I didn't mention. It's the lion of the tribe of Judah. In the book of Revelation, we are reminded that he will be the one who delivers us. That he, Jesus himself, is also called a lion. And so I remind us today that though our enemy may have the traits of a lion, he'll take anything good and make it bad. Though our enemy may have the traits of the fallen world, what a lion is, Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. So you can, by paying attention, live out what he's called us to do. And then lastly, to have hope. Let God restore you. Let him strengthen you. Let him establish his purpose in you. God has a plan for you. God has a plan for me. What is it he's having you to do today to bring him glory? Would you bow with me? Their heads bowed, eyes closed. Father God, I'm so thankful for 1 Peter. I'm thankful that you gave these words to Peter almost 2,000 years ago. I'm thankful that he boldly put those to paper and passed those around for what would end up being the world to see. To be reminded that we are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God, that we have the living hope living in us, making us living stones for you, that we are your messengers, that we are called to be prepared to give an answer for the hope in us, that we can walk in our suffering and difficulty, on and on and on. So much truth in this little letter. Father God, my prayer is that if there's anyone here today that has not experienced your new life, that first of all, they would realize that if they're dealing with anxiety, they're dealing with difficulty, trust you. There are people in this room who have been struggling with some anxious thoughts. May they trust you today. Some may need to get on their knees and simply say to you, Father, in this moment, I will trust you. I have searched you and you've not ever failed me. You've never failed me, so I will trust you. For others of us, maybe it's time to pay attention. We've been flirting with that lion for too long. We've been walking in worldly ways for too long. So it's time to stop and say, I will pay attention. I will live as one who can boldly proclaim truth and can resist the devil, and he will flee because I will be strong in God's word. Some may need to turn to your word. Others, it's simply to trust in the hope of Jesus, because hope has a name, and it is Jesus. God, that you would do that in our lives today. Father God, please have your way among us now. If there's one here that needs to give their life to you, may they do so. If there's someone that wants to join the church, Father, that you would call them to be a part of this faith family, I pray that you would do so. Father, if there are others that want to follow through with believers' baptism, or maybe someone who just wants to come and pray and make things right with you, whatever you would have us to do, may today be the day we honor you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with me as we sing this?